Good evening. Welcome to View from the Stand, the podcast that looks at Australian football from the A-League men's and women's competition to the international sides, the Socceroos and the Matildas, and we look around Australia at the national Premier Leagues as well. And to help me this week get through a big week of football from Brisbane, Michael Howe. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. A bit wet and soggy, but we'll get there.
Yeah, same down here. It's been
Yes.
terrible.
Not to worry. We'll
Yeah. So we've had a big week of football, Mike, in the last 7 days or so.
it. We certainly have some wide and varied results as well.
For sure. Thought we'd look up first the World Cup qualifier between Australia and Japan, which was took place last Thursday. And of course, it was a much must-win match for the Socceroos. And unfortunately, they didn't go with the plan and went down to Japan by 2-0. Two very late goals as well. It was in the 89th and the 94th minutes by Kaoru Mitoma. But I think Japan looked pretty much comfortable throughout pretty much the whole game, Mike. What did you think?
I have to agree with you. They were quite comfortable. They didn't really allow Australia any sort of attack in the first half at all. They just seemed to sort of settle down. They sort of out a little bit, and our attack was almost null and void.
That's right. Yeah. It was like Japan were the home team and Australia were the visiting team from the way I saw it.
Very much so. Yeah, I have to agree with that one.
Yeah, which was disappointing to see. Japan pretty much had control, as we said, dominated the match, had more possession, had more shots on goal, more shots on target, and Australia just didn't look up for the fight.
No, it
Very,
just seemed
very,
like
very.
we almost as if we just turned up, we'll be right.
Very disappointing display by the Socceroos.
Not to worry.
Yeah.
No. There's always 4 years' time.
looking at what you mentioned the other day too, our possible opponents from South America, well, could be another 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, just looking at the Group A competition, actually, it's an interesting week over there. Looking at the table in Group A, South Korea and Iran, they're through. South Korea topped the group with 23 points, and Iran are second on 22. So we're looking at the third place team to play Australia in the next round of qualifications. At the moment, United Arab Emirates are third with 9 points, and Iraq have come out of nowhere. They're now fourth with 8 points. So there's only a point in it there. Lebanon are on six, and Syria, bottom of the group, on five. So it's pretty much between United Arab Emirates and Iraq at the moment. And this week in that group, United Arab Emirates are playing at home to South Korea. So that's going to be a very tricky game for them.
Very much so.
But they probably, well, you couldn't imagine getting much out of that game unless
No, on current standings, yeah, it's definitely a South Korea victory.
Iraq, they're away to Syria. So that's a
Okay.
very interesting game as well. So if Iraq win that one and United Emirates go down to South Korea, then Australia will be playing Iraq in the next round of matches.
Oh, I'm not happy with that.
No, so whether it's Iraq or United Arab Emirates, it's going to be very tricky indeed.
It's a tough gig, that's for sure.
Yeah. But Australia haven't looked that good, have they, in this qualifying campaign? I didn't really think that they were going to qualify for the World Cup, to be honest with you, before it started.
No, you're quite right. They seem quite relaxed about it. We didn't have a very good side picked. It seemed to be we were picking players out of form, players who hadn't played. It almost like we didn't take it seriously.
Yeah. And there was reports coming in out of the that some
be part of the camp, which is a worrying situation.
I lost you there for a second. What was the question?
There were some reports that I heard that some of the players didn't want to be part of the camp and be part of the squad over here for the match against Japan.
That's true. I heard that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was one of the players from the Melbourne side. He decided not to go. I can't think of his name.
Right. But Jamie McLaren, he played.
He did, and he won't be playing for the next game because he's getting married.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's already told him he can't play.
Okay. Well, the next match is on, I think it's Wednesday morning.
I think you're right.
I think you're right.
And Australia will be playing Saudi Arabia over there in Saudi Arabia at the King Abdullah Sports Centre. Really, it doesn't mean anything for Australia. Saudi Arabia, they got still got top spot to play for. So they've still got something to play for.
They have, bit of a dead rubber for us.
Well, I guess Australia will want to go into the next round of matches, you know, with a win rather than coming off two losses.
That's true. It's a good time to try new formations.
And Japan, they're playing Vietnam. So you'd imagine Japan will win that game. So they'll probably finish top of the group, I would imagine.
Japan won't be trouble at all.
So if you have a look at the last five Australian games, they've had one win, three draws and a loss. So that's 6 points that have been lost through draws.
Some big difference.
Australia would be in second spot at the moment.
That's it.
So it's just those silly results.
Yeah, and as you said earlier too, you haven't been impressed with the players and the way they perform.
We just don't seem to have. I don't think we have the players at the moment like we used to. I think been going a bit backwards.
And that's the scary part.
Yeah.
We were just driving forward the last two or three campaigns. But Luke Wiltshire summed it up. He said we don't seem to have the grit and determination anymore.
No, I don't think so. Didn't look like they're interested the other night.
We've turned up, we better play.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's coming from whether they're not getting the motivation they need from the coaching department. Not getting the right type of training, I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
But something needs to change.
Yeah, all the players are quite experienced in their own way, whether they're here or overseas, so there's really no excuse as far as their fitness and ability.
I guess too, you know, I look back to the when Australia first qualified after their 34-year gap back in 2006. We had players in the English Premier League, players in the Bundesliga, players in the Liga. We don't have those players now.
Not anymore.
They're all playing in lower divisions in those countries or in some leagues in other European countries.
Yes, I got a couple of players in the Nordic countries as well.
Yeah. You know, and that's not the same sort of standard as your Premier Leagues or your Bundesliga or your La Liga. And that's where our players were playing at. And we just don't have those players in those competitions now.
No. And A-League, it's a great competition, but it doesn't come anywhere near it.
No, that's right. So that was very disappointing display by the Socceroos.
Mm.
Let's hope that they perform a little bit better on Wednesday morning over in Saudi Arabia.
Play for pride.
Yeah, that's right. So if we do play, whoever we play, whether it's United Arab Emirates or Iraq, the next match will probably be against Peru. And that's going to be a very, very hard match.
Yes, on your recommendation, I saw the highlights of the Uruguay-Peru game.
Yeah, that was a good game, that. Uruguay.
That was a very good game. Peru was very frightening.
It was pretty end-to-end, really.
It was a great game.
Yeah. So I think, it looks like Uruguay will probably finish fourth now. So I think it'll probably be Peru that Australia will have to play if they get through to the next phase. And they're just technically better. They're more organised than what Australia are at the moment.
And they play with passion.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that. I didn't see any of that the other night.
No, far from it.
No.
They didn't play, as you said, the previous campaign, the boys played for the jersey. They played for that coat of arms. But, yeah, they don't, as you said, they just simply lost it.
No, very disappointing. And I have to think, but these players should look back to the squad that qualified back in 1974 for the first time. They were semi-professional players back then.
Yep.
They all had jobs. They weren't playing football as their profession. They all had to take time off work. And they had to do it the hard way. And they had to do a lot more miles than what these guys have probably done, and probably not as good a conditions. And there was only 16 teams that qualified for the World Cup back then.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep. And I dare say most of that money they talked out would have been their own.
Yeah, that's right.
There wouldn't have been any sponsorships, or the FA wouldn't have paid for it.
No, true. So when players think they're getting it hard done by, then they just need to think back to 1974, 1973.
And that's it. The players today think everything's going to have whatever you want to platter for them.
Yeah.
Not just our players, I think we're talking most players around the world.
Yeah, I think so. They're all pampered these days.
Yeah, it seems they've got to give a right.
That's right. Anyway, looking back to the other results last weekend in Australia's Group B, who else did we have? We had, let me see. It's in Group A. South Korea beat Iran 2-0. And South Korea, I think they'll be a good force, I think, in the World Cup.
Yeah, they've always been good side.
And they've got some great players that now play in the English Premier League.
They do.
And Bundesliga and the top. And that's the difference.
Yeah, same with Japan players as well. I think it's been just because of it.
Yeah. And Lebanon, they went down to Syria by 3-0. That was in Lebanon. Our group, Vietnam, went down to Oman 1-0. In Group A, China and Saudi Arabia. That's in our group. China and Saudi Arabia in our group had a 1-1 draw. That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, this was a surprise.
And Iraq 1, United Arab Emirates 0. That was in Group A. Coming up tomorrow night, actually, Japan play Vietnam, as we said. That's at 9:35 our time. Well, my time, probably 8:35 your time. that's in Japan. You can't see anything other than a Japanese win there.
No, especially the home crowd.
That's right. Saudi Arabia versus Australia. It's Wednesday morning at 5:00 our time. We'd hope Australia would win, but it's going to be a tough one. If we can get a point, that would be something, I guess.
Yep.
And Oman, they'll be playing China from our group. That's on Wednesday morning also at 3:00. And in Group A, Iran will be playing Lebanon. United Arab Emirates will be playing South Korea, and Syria will be playing Iraq. So a busy week of World Cup matches, and we'll find out by the end of the week who Australia will have to play in the next round of matches.
We wait.
We do. Have you have anything more to say on the Socceroos, or we had enough of Socceroo talk?
I think we've had enough of Socceroo talk.
I think so. All right, let's move on to the A-League Women's Grand Final, which was played on Sunday. We're recording this Monday. It was played on Sunday the 27th. And did you get to see any of this, Mike?
No, I was engaged.
Yes. Anyway, Melbourne Victory beat Sydney FC 2-1, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, that's it. Back-to-back, isn't it?
Yeah, they won it last time as well, and this time. But they did it the hard way this time around.
Yeah, read the report.
Yeah, they just about scraped into fourth spot after a lot of injuries, illnesses, fatigue, and they had a backlog of games that forced them to play half their season in the space of a month.
Oh, good God.
So they reached the final the hard way, so good on them. They then overcome the Adelaide United, who were in a bit of good form in the semi-final. Then they gave Melbourne City a bit of a hiding, 3-1 in the elimination final.
Wow.
So they certainly put it together at the right time and defeated Sydney FC yesterday by 2-1. Casey Dumont, she had a fantastic game.
Yeah, she's always been a good keeper. She was a defensive role going back in the day. She was even impressive then.
And she did, yeah, she did a couple of world-class saves. The post came to Melbourne Victory's aid as well on one or two occasions. But Melbourne had their chances too. There was a ball cleared off the line from on the back post at one stage early in the match, which could have given Melbourne an even earlier lead than what they did. And Sydney dominated possession. They dominated the game. It was just at the end of the day, Melbourne Victory were just that little bit better in front of goal.
Yeah, put their chances away.
Put their chances away, and that's what it's all about.
But yeah, exactly right.
So well done to them. But Sydney have had a great season. They won the Premier's Plate, and they would have gone into the game pretty much hot favourites, I would have thought.
Oh, for sure. Especially with the Premier's Plate.
Yeah,
I mean, they
had one loss all season. That was against Melbourne City. And Melbourne Victory were the only other team to take a point off them. That was in a 2-2 draw towards the end of the season there. Amy Jackson, she scored in the 49th minute for Melbourne Victory just after half time. A good time to score a goal.
Yeah, very much so.
And Catherine Zimmerman, she scored in the 64th minute for Victory. Before Courtney Vine, she got a goal in the 66th minute, which ended up just being a consolation goal.
Unfortunately, the girls on a bit there, but obviously Victory held out.
Yep, and I think both goals were set up by Kyra Cooney Cross. So she had she had a great game. But looking at the statistics, just to show you how much Sydney dominated, Sydney had 20 shots to Melbourne Victory's 7.
What? My goodness. My goodness.
Out of that 20, Sydney, 7 were on target. So, yeah, as you can see, their shooting boots weren't on yesterday.
Casey was in damn good form.
Yeah. Out of Melbourne Victory's 7 shots on goal, 3 of those are on target. And Sydney dominated possession 55-45 as well. Yeah, so good game. I enjoyed the game. Went out there, rained, of course.
Of course, how unusual.
But it was a good game to watch, and both teams played very well.
Good. Started to put the girls put their feet up for a while.
Well, the Matildas have got a couple of games coming up.
Who are they? Oh, they got
in New Zealand.
That's right. That's cool.
They'll be playing New Zealand, next month, I think. One game in Canberra and one in Townsville.
In Townsville?
Yeah.
That's a surprising choice.
It is. Yeah, it's the first time they've ever played up there.
Mm.
So it's been a good opportunity for the Queensland people to get out and watch the games. In fact, I should have the information here somewhere. Let's see. They play the first matches in Townsville at the QCB Stadium. So if you're listening to us up that way, get out there and watch the girls. That's on Friday, the 8th of April, with the second match to be played at GIO Stadium in Canberra, which will be on Tuesday, the 12th of April.
Interesting.
Very. I've got an email today from Football Federation Australia as well regarding the Pararoos and the Paramatildas. The Pararoos are alongside the United States and Iran in their particular World Cup, while the Paramatildas will face Japan, Spain, and Netherlands and the United States in the inaugural Women's World Cup.
Good grace, you couldn't pick three more stronger nations, could you?
So the Men's World Cup will take place from the 27th of April till the 16th of May, with the Women's World Cup running from the 7th to the 18th of May. And what else have I got here to tell you? The CP football, that was done in Spain, the draw. This will be the 10th appearance in the World Championships for the Pararoos. And as I said, we'll face number four Iran and number six United States. So it's going to be a tough ask for the young men there.
Also, where is this player ranked?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Not that I've been able to ascertain just yet.
Mm.
And then the Para Matildas, they'll make their international competition debut in the first ever cerebral palsy games. And they'll play Japan, Spain, and Netherlands, United States, as I said. So fantastic opportunity for those players.
Brilliant.
The Catalan Sports Federation for people with cerebral palsy. Let's have a look. 15 nations will compete in the Men's World Cup in four groups, while the Women's World Cup will see five nations battle it out in one pool. Australia's national teams for footballers with cerebral palsy, acquired brain injury, and symptoms of stroke. Peru's will enter the tournament they're ranked number 10. There we go.
Brilliant.
While the Para Matildas are ranked number 4.
Wow.
So that's fantastic.
Let's wish them all the best.
Yes, and we'll cover those games when they come about next month. That'd be something to look forward to.
Very much so.
Did you catch any A-League action over the weekend, Mike?
No, I was very busy. I was working Saturday, and I went to, dare I say, the rugby on Saturday night.
Come on.
Well, I was given a free ticket, so I went along.
Oh, that's all right, then.
And I was visiting my new granddaughter on Sunday.
What was that?
I was visiting my granddaughter on Sunday.
Yes, your new granddaughter.
Yep. So
congratulations to yourself and mum and dad.
Yeah, thank you. I'll pass it on.
On behalf of everybody, all the listeners out there,
It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Wonderful. Yeah,
looking forward to getting up there and seeing the little girl.
Looking forward to seeing you. You and your dear lady.
Yep. All right. Anyway, let's have a look and see what happened in the A-League. And it started last Friday night in a match that I didn't get to see because I was working. And I'm glad I didn't, because Newcastle Jets beat Sydney FC by 2-0.
I caught that and I had to look at it twice.
You saw that coming.
You wouldn't have picked that. You wouldn't have bet your house on Newcastle winning.
No way. I'm trying to get
unbelievable.
Anyway, they did very well. 2-0 there by. I was getting the updates at work, and oh dear. On Saturday, Wellington Phoenix, they beat Perth Glory 2-1. That was at. Trying to get through to the scores and stuff, but doesn't seem to be working. Let me have a look. Maybe if I go into that one. It's all this high-tech stuff, Mike. Not like the old days. I used to have paper everywhere.
Yeah, I get confused with high-tech.
Here we go. All right, let's try this. So, where were we up to? Yeah, all right. Okay. So, there we go. It's all working now. So, Archie Goodwin scored 2 for Newcastle in the 41st and 43rd minutes. So, they were two very close together goals just before half time. I don't even know who Archie Goodwin is.
Neither do I. I know I watched the highlight of one of the goals that Bumel won in midfield, and he pushed it wide to Penner. And Penner just crossed it. Up he rose and beat the ticket in the header.
Okay.
Beautiful goal.
Anyway, well done to Newcastle Jets. I'm glad I went to work rather than going up there. Earn a bit of money instead of spending it.
Yeah.
Wellington Phoenix, they beat Perth Glory by 2-1. As I said, Ben Wayne scored in the 37th minute for the Phoenix. And that was it for the first half. Nicholas Nick Fitzgerald, he scored in the 49th minute for Perth Glory to make it 1-1. Then it was a very late Nicholas Pennington goal in the 97th minute to get the win there for Wellington. And Osama Malik received the red card in that game as well.
Obviously, a very naughty boy.
He was. That was played at their home ground, Leichhardt Oval. It's very hard to keep up what their home ground is.
It is. They're Rovers, aren't
they? Yeah. Brisbane Roar played Western United on Saturday afternoon, a match that I watched. I enjoyed. Brisbane Roar got off to a great start with Juan Luscano scoring in the third minute before Adisu Bayou scored for Western United in the 35th minute. Then, unfortunately, in the second half, Scott Neville, ball came off him and went into his own goal. That was in the 59th minute. And Alessandro Prijevic, he scored the third for Western United in the 83rd minute, with Jay O'Shea getting a consolation goal for, wasn't really a consolation goal because they still had a few minutes to go and anything could have happened. He got to put the penalty away in the 88th minute. But the big talking point was Jordan Holmes getting a red card early in the game in the 30th minute. Have you seen anything about that, Mike?
Haven't seen him.
He came a long way out of his goal, and there was contact between him and I can't remember who the Western United player was. Might have been Prijevic. He brought him down, and referee judged that he was the last man and the contact, so he was given a straight red.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
The commentators were arguing the point that there was a couple of Brisbane Roar players that were coming across for a bit of cover defence, and they could have possibly have stopped Holmes from being the last man. But, I think it was Prijevic. So he had an open goal. If he'd got past Holmes, he may have just chipped it into the goal anyway.
Yeah, it would have been a tap-in.
Yeah. So it was a fair way out. Jordan Holmes came out. So anyway, Brisbane played pretty well with 10 men, fought their way back to 3-2, and just didn't have enough in their tank at the end of the game to get anything out of the match.
Yeah, it makes it hard to lose a player.
Yeah, it certainly does. But they played well. It was a good game. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
That was played up at up your way at Moreton Daly Stadium.
Yes.
I reckon they should call it Arthur Daly Stadium.
Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Aye. Tell us referee.
That's right. Also on Saturday, we had MacArthur Bulls. I always call them MacArthur Rams because that's the New South Wales.
NPL side,
yeah. But it's MacArthur Bulls. They went down to Melbourne City by 1-0. And Jamie McLaren, he scored in the 64th minute. So he had a busy week, played for the Socceroos Thursday night and Melbourne City on Saturday evening and scored a goal.
He's such a good player.
He is a very good player. Surprised he hasn't gone overseas.
I think he had a strong... He left Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, that's right. He went overseas.
Yeah, and it wasn't very successful.
No, that's why he's back here.
Mm.
Central Coast Mariners, they played Adelaide. They had a great win, 3-0.
Who'd have thought they were Adelaide?
Yeah, and all the goals came late in the match. Urena scored in the 77th minute, Jason Cummins in the 91st, and Matt Hatch in the 93rd. And there was two sending offs. Jay Gauchy got sent off. That's another goalkeeper that saw red. In around about the same time as well, he got sent off in the 27th minute. And Morshiba He got a red card in the 95th by the looks of it. That was up at the Central Coast Stadium on Saturday. And then finally, on Sunday, Melbourne Victory and Western Sydney Wanderers played out a 1-1 draw with yet again more late goal action. Jason Davidson, he scored in the 91st minute. And Stephen Ugarkovic, he scored in the 96th minute. And Roderick Miranda, he got a red card in the 89th minute.
Jesus, some players put up in that round.
They've just gone to the pub, and then just turned up at the 85th minute and seen all the action.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, so that was that game. So Melbourne City are top of the table on 40 points, Western United 37, Adelaide United 28, Melbourne Victory fourth on 25, Macarthur Bulls 25 points, Sydney FC are sixth now on 24, with Wellington breathing down their neck on 24 points. Central Coast Mariners, they're not out of the picture. They're eighth on 22. Newcastle Jets have brought themselves into the picture as well. They've got 21 points.
Nice.
Western Sydney Wanderers are 10th on 20 points. Brisbane Roar 11th with 17. And Perth Glory 12th with 13. And, of course, Perth Glory are looking for a new coach.
Why is that not surprising?
Reggie Garcia got shown the door last week. And Ruben Zadkovic is in control to the end of the season. Former Newcastle lad.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of coaches getting sacked in mid-season. I would like to see them take a backroom role.
Yeah.
So they're still part of the club by giving ideas and thoughts rather than just cut them right off.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because they obviously still have something to offer, but this gives them the opportunity to take the reins.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Some fresh ideas to maybe, you know, just for that manager, what do they call it? Manager response. Can't think what it's called.
That's it.
Name for it in England. But you can still have a role, as you said.
Yeah. People like Richard Gaspere have lots of knowledge.
Oh, yeah. I played in England for a long time for Leeds United.
That's right.
Man with a big pedigree.
Sad to see him go. But anyway,
that's football.
Yeah, it's all about wins.
And getting back to the Socceroos, has been talk of Graeme Arnold being shown the door as well.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I've also heard that they're going to keep him there.
They should. I mean, what's the point now? You might as well keep him to the end of the campaign.
I tell you, agree.
Yeah, I don't know when his contract's due. Probably the end of the World Cup cycle, I guess. He might be able to produce something from the guys. He might be able to get a tune from some of the guys. And
he's been around Graeme. He's coached the young Socceroos the previous time. He's coached David Payne.
Yeah, done particularly well with Sydney FC.
Correct. So he's not slashed his fingers. He's good.
No, that's very true. And, you know, he can only work with the players he's got.
Absolutely. If both players don't want to work, you can be the best coach in the world and still not make them work.
Right. That's right. Anyway, I thought we'd, after all that, I thought we'd move up your way, Mike, and see what's going on up in the Queensland Premier League, which has kicked off.
It has kicked off, and thank goodness for that.
And you went along last week to see Olympic play Brisbane City.
Yes, it was a great game too.
That was at Goodwin Park.
Yep.
And obviously it was football, not water polo.
Yeah, it was nice to see football without the rain.
And they had the super sopper out and sopping up all the water.
Yeah, the ground looked pretty well, actually.
That's good.
Hmm.
Now, looking at the score there, Mike, it was 1-0 to Brisbane Olympic. I would think, if I was just looking at that, I would think it would be a pretty close game. Would I be right in that assumption?
It was an incredibly close game. I was really surprised by Brisbane City's playmaker. They've got Matt Smith as a player's coach, the opposition role player. And he's got them working very well.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, we lost players through the off-season.
Yeah.
But they've done very well, Brisbane City.
Great. And they're back up in the big in the National Premier League after a season down in the second tier.
Correct.
After being relegated. So it's good to see Brisbane City back in the top flight again.
It is. It reminds you back of the old NSL days.
Yeah. And was there many of the Azzurri there backing their team?
There was quite a few, unfortunately, right behind me.
Okay. And Takeiro Okada, I think it's how you pronounce his name. He scored for Olympic in the 25th minute.
Brilliant guy. So he's got a new recruit.
Takeiro Okada, I think that's how you say it.
Yep, took on the left-hand side of the field and just rattled it home. It was fantastic.
Right. Okay. Well done there to the Olympic boys. Looking at the other results from round one, Eastern Suburbs beat Capalabar 3-2 in a very close game.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. Capalabar, they're one of those teams that don't seem to do really well every season.
Yeah.
But they're always, they're very clearly
tied to the table, aren't they?
Mm. So, yeah, I was very surprised by Capalabar. Good luck to them.
Yeah. So they went close. 3-2 loss there to Jeffrey DiBella. He scored in the 30th minute. Hyung Jun Son in the 46th. Before Capalabar made a bit of a fight back, Dylan Newcomb scored in the 77th minute. And then Jamie Thomas Dimitrov scored an 87th minute penalty for Eastern Suburbs. And Omar Siddiqui scored a 90th minute penalty for Capalabar. The big surprising result for me there, Mike, was Queensland Lions going down 6-3 to Gold Coast Knights.
That was an amazing result. I could not believe that myself.
Wouldn't have seen that coming.
No way in the world.
So have strengthened and Queensland Lions lost some players, or was it just one of those funny
results? I think it was just one of those anomalies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Queensland Lions were leading at half time as well.
Right. Yeah, so it's a good fight back there by the Gold Coast Knights.
Yeah, it was just a ridiculous game.
Yeah, Tommy Jarrod scored in the 18th minute for Lions. Misu Murutovic, he scored in the 29th minute for Gold Coast Knights. And then, yeah, you're right, Solizano, he scored in the third. Our old mate there from the A-League, he scored in the 34th minute. So, yeah, they led 2-1 at half-time. Then, in fact, they led 3-1 with Andy Pengelly scoring in the 52nd minute before Max Brown got Gold Coast Knights second in the 56th. So they actually led 3-1 at one stage.
Yeah, crazy game.
Then it was a procession.
Mm.
Brian Mora in the 60th, Pascal De Vita in the 67th, and Kai Tipaldo in the 85th and 90th minutes for the Knights. And the other matches, Brisbane Roar Youth and Logan Lighting drew 2-2. That would have been a good game.
Yeah, would have been an excellent game. They're good side of Brisbane Youth.
And Sunshine Coast Wanderers defeated Peninsula Powers. Another bit of a surprise as well. 2-0.
Very much so. When you consider Peninsula Powers won the championship last year.
Yeah, they had a red card.
They had two, actually.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, Brenton Fox and Brody Boyce. Brenton Fox in the 44th and Brody Boyce in the 91st minutes.
And Sunshine Coast Wanderers also had a red card.
Oh, right. Red cards all around.
Very volatile game, that one.
Gold Coast United won. Moreton Bay United won. There was a red card there.
Yeah, that's surprising, that game. I would have thought Gold Coast would have had the upper hand, that one.
Right. Moreton Bay, they're not a very strong side. They got a late goal. Declan Smith scored in the 88th minute there.
Yeah, they're a good side. They're a very hot and cold side.
And Gold Coast United, that's the old A-League team, isn't it?
Correct, yes. Correct,
yeah. Yeah. That was week one of the results. This weekend, Capalaba went down to Gold Coast Knights 2-0. That was at the Bulldogs' home ground. Gold Coast United beat Brisbane City by 2-1. Queensland Lions, they got back on the winner's circle, defeating Peninsula Power by 4-3. Sounds like a good game.
That'll be a cracker, that one.
And Olympic, away to Brisbane Raw Youth, they won 5-0. Great, great win there for Olympic boys.
Fantastic result. Absolutely brilliant.
And that was played at the old Mac Stadium in Underwood Park.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, have you ever been to the old Mac Stadium?
No.
No.
I was hoping to go, but I was otherwise busy.
Yeah, that's right, busy with you, with your new granddaughter.
Yes.
What else did we have on the weekend? So yeah, good win there for Brisbane Olympic, as we said. Sunshine Coast Wanderers defeated Logan Lightning 3-0. Big win for them. And this evening, the round finishes tonight at 9:30. I don't know if that's my time or your time. Probably my time because I'm looking at it here. Eastern Suburbs will play Moreton Bay United. So it's 8:30 your time, I guess.
Yeah, I can see he's taking that one.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. We'll have a look next week. That's at Heath Park.
Yeah.
Coming up, where are we? Coming up this weekend in the Queensland Premier League. On Friday night, Logan Lighting played Gold Coast United. What do you think there, Mike?
I think Gold Coast United will take that.
You reckon?
Mm.
That's on Friday night. 8:30, I guess, your time. Gold Coast Knights, they're at home to Brisbane City. You'd imagine the Knights. That's at the Gold Coast Croatian Sports Centre.
Yeah, I can't see the Gold Coast Knights giving that one away.
Moreton Bay versus Olympic boys on Saturday at 6:30 up there?
6:30 in Queensland.
That's at Walter Park. On Saturday.
Yeah. I see Olympic boys winning up on easy, comfortable. Yeah.
Can't see anything other than an Olympic win there. Peninsula Power versus Eastern Suburbs on Saturday.
That's Peninsula Power.
Time. That's at AJ Kelly Park. Peninsula Power will win that one, you reckon? I've had two losses.
Definitely. Yeah, but they're a good side. We watched them play in other games last year, and they were very talented out there.
Yeah.
So they won't let it go too much.
No, that's right. Queensland Lions, they're at home at Lions Stadium. They play Sunshine Coast Wanderers. That match is at 8 p.m. I guess it's 7 p.m. your time. Be glad when all the times are the same again.
Yeah, for football reasons, yes.
And Capalaba, they're at home at John Frederick Park. Is that Bulldog Park or something, is it?
Yeah, Bulldog Park.
They're playing Brisbane Roar Youth. What do you think? Brisbane Roar will win that one?
I think Brisbane Roar will take that one.
Right. Olympic are top of the table on goal difference with 6 points, 2 from 2. Gold Coast Knights are breathing down their necks with 2 from 2, and Sunshine Coast as well with 2 from 2. Fourth is Gold Coast United with 4 points. They've had a win and a draw. Eastern Suburbs have had one game so far. They're fifth on 3 points with that game tonight. Queensland Lions, they're sixth on 3 points. Moreton Bay, so far 7 points with 1 point, but they have that match tonight. Logan Lighting are on eighth with 1 point. Brisbane Raw Youth, 1 point. Then we have Brisbane City, Peninsula Power and Capalaba yet to register a point. So, been a busy week up there in the last couple of weeks in the NPL up there, Mike.
Been fantastic. It's been a long time coming. We finally got the season off on our doorstep, and then we got flooded.
Yeah, that's right.
They put the season back in a couple of weeks.
So are you going to attend any matches this week?
I'm going to certainly try and get to the Olympic Moreton Bay game.
Okay, good, eh?
I'll see if I can get to that one.
Yeah, we'll look forward to a report.
Most definitely.
Moving on to the New South Wales Premier League and last week's matches, because we didn't do a show last week, Wollongong Wolves and Sydney FC Youth had a 2-2 draw. That was on Friday the 18th of March. So it would have been a good game down there at Wynn Stadium. And Sydney FC got a red card in that one. Nathan Grimaldi, he got a red card in the 62nd minute. So lots of red cards floating around in the National Premier League this weekend.
Yeah, it seems to be the flavour of the month, doesn't it?
The A-League. Sutherland, they beat Manly United to get their first win of the season. That was a 2-0 win at Seymour Shore Park with Harry Callaghan. Scoring in the 37th and the 91st minute. So it's good to see Sutherland getting on the winners list there at last, Mike.
Absolutely brilliant. So get an old post to his Manly.
Yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. I remember going to see many a ding-dong battle between Sutherland and Manly back in the old days, in the old scaffold. They had a couple of close matches leading up to that one. They went down to Sydney United the week before 3-2. And Marconi the week before that, 3-2.
Yeah.
Sydney so United. Got on track. What's that, mate?
So they got themselves back on track.
Yeah, that's right. Good game here. Sydney United and Mount Druitt Town Rangers drew 2-2. That was last Sunday, 20th of March, or Sunday, last Sunday week. So that would have been a good game to go to. Glenn Trefiro, he scored in the 32nd minute for United, which only lasted 2 minutes before John Roberts got the Rangers on level terms. And then Patrick Antelemy scored in the 61st minute from the penalty spot before Lewis Cowrie scored in the 68th for Mount Druitt Town Rangers to share the spoils. Rochdale City Suns played Apia Leichhardt, and that was a 2-1 win there to the Suns. Down there at the Rochdale Illenden Sports Centre, that would have been a good game.
Brilliant game.
Sydney Olympic beat Northbridge Bulls by 2-0, Belmore Sports Ground, with Roy O'Donovan scoring from the penalty spot in the 16th minute for Olympic.
Yeah, you are.
Last weekend, Mount Druitt Town Rangers played Sutherland Sharks at Poppendetta Park. And get to that one because I was working, but Sutherland won 3-2.
Yes.
So that was a great result there for the Sharks. I haven't got to see any of the matches this weekend in the NPL. Too many games, enough time.
I know, right?
But that was a great win there for Sutherland, 3-2. Would have been a great game to go to.
Oh, for sure.
That was last Friday night there at Poppendetta Park. On Saturday afternoon, RPA Leichhardt and Blacktown, a couple of big guns from the New South Wales Premier League. They ended up drawing, RPA won that by 1-0 at Lambert Park, another ground that we're very familiar with.
Very much so.
Famous old ground with a famous old club.
Yeah, it's good history in that ground.
Yeah, that's right. Wollongong Wolves and Olympic was postponed due to the wet weather. Marconi and Rochdale City Suns, they played out a 2-2 draw. Northbridge Bulls 4, Sydney United 2. And Sydney Youth 2, Manly United 2. So that was all the action from the New South Wales Premier League this weekend. Friday night, RPA Leichhardt versus Wollongong Wolves at Lambert Park. That should be a good game. In fact, before we do that, we'll have a look at the table. Up here at top of the table on 9. Sydney Youth are second on 8. Sydney United third on Blacktown City fourth on 6 points. Sutherland have now moved up to fifth with 6 points.
Excellent.
Rockdale City are 6 on 5 points. Wollongong Wolves are 7 with 4. Sydney Olympic 8 with 4 points. Marconi Stallions are 9th with 4. Manly United 10th with 4. Northbridge Bulls are 11th with 3 points. And Mount Druitt Town currently propping up the table with 1 point. So, looking ahead to this weekend's matches in the New South Wales Premier League, we have on Friday the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, RPL Leichhardt versus Wollongong Wolves at Lambert Park with a 7:30 p.m. kickoff. So get along to that, all you RPL fans. I think RPL will probably win that one. That's my pick. On Saturday at Seymour Shore Park at 3:30, Sutherland have got a tough assignment against Sydney Youth. Sydney Youth have drawn a couple of matches. That might be another draw there, I think.
Should be close.
Or do you think Sharks can nick the points there?
I think the Sharks will nick it by one.
Yeah, all right, then I'll change my mind. Yeah, Sharks will win that. 2-1. 2-1 to Sharks. Manly United, they're at home on Saturday at 5 p.m. against Northbridge Bulls at Cromer Park, another ground that we haven't been to for a very long time, but probably visited there back in the late 70s.
Wow.
If you remember. And we got a lift off of one of the players.
That's right. It's a time machine moment, isn't it?
The players drove up and we sat in the back of the car.
That's right.
Back in the late 70s. That's before they've got a clubhouse and everything there now, but that's back before those days.
Yeah. It was just basically a simple brick building, I think.
Yeah. Manly United, I think, might win that one at home against Northbridge.
This is a
cracking game, this one. Marconi Stallions versus Sydney Olympic.
Oh, that'd be great to watch, wouldn't it?
Marconi Stadium with a 7 p.m. kickoff. So get along to that, all you people there that like the old NSL teams. Get out there and show them your support and show them that you do care about these old NSL teams rather than just complaining on Facebook pages. Well, Marconi are struggling and Sydney Olympic both 8th and 9th. I don't know. Maybe Marconi just with the home ground advantage.
Yeah, just again, just a very scrappy one goal.
Yeah, I'm going to go along to watch the Sydney Derby, Sydney SC and Western Sydney Wanderers, so I won't be able to go to that. If I wasn't going to that game, I'd definitely go to Marconi Stadium.
Yeah, for sure.
Sunday afternoon at Blacktown City Sports Centre, I think it's called now. They will be playing Sydney United. That should be another good game. Blacktown City is there or thereabouts at the end of the season. And Sydney United have had a pretty good start to the year.
Yeah, they've always been a very strong squad, though.
Very much so. Well, I've got a feeling Blacktown might just sneak that one. And finally, on Sunday at Rockdale Illenden Sports Centre, Rockdale City Suns versus Mount Druitt Town Rangers. As much as I'd like to see Mount Druitt Town Rangers get the points, I think Rockdale City might be a little bit too strong.
Yeah, have a great
this weekend. So there we go. That's all the NPL news from Queensland and New South Wales. What else have we got to look at, Mike?
I think the talking points we covered earlier with the up and coming Socceroos game.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope Graham Arnold and the boys can.
We'll have a wrap up of that. And see, and it'll give us a. We'll know who we got to play in the next round of matches.
Yes, that'll be interesting.
Certainly will. We
didn't
cover back
on that too. Somebody mentioned Colombia.
Okay, Colombia might be in the picture. Yeah,
that won't be easy either.
No, that's true. Colombia, very good side, very strong team. Although you know, all the South American teams. All very strong indeed.
And they play at a different level than most other nations.
They do.
They really play with a harmless sleeve and they just power over you.
Yep. Yeah, just looking at the table. Yeah. Uruguay have got 25 points. They're fourth. They're 4 points in front of Peru, who are fifth on 21 points. And yeah, and Colombia are breathing down their neck on 20. And they've got a better
end of the round.
And looking at the matches coming up over there, if I can fast forward through these ones, where are we? Wednesday, the 30th of March, Peru play Paraguay. Wednesday, Ecuador play Argentina. And Venezuela play Colombia. So, Venezuela are bottom of the table. They've only got 10 points. So you'd imagine Colombia will probably win that one and put them on 20 points. And who did I say Peru play? Peru play Paraguay. That's going to be a tough match. Paraguay are in eighth on 16 points. So, yeah, good play for Colombia.
Yes.
We're getting down. I think it's the last round of matches too.
Must be very close.
Brazil and Argentina, of course, are three, first and second.
It's a given, isn't it?
Yeah. Then Ecuador on 25, Uruguay 25 also. So that's the top four there. Then we've got Peru and Colombia. Chile are seventh on 19 points. So I guess if the results go against the other two and Chile win their game, then it might be Chile.
Yeah, well, all things are possible.
Chile play Uruguay, so that's going to be a very tough game.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, I know what I'll be doing when I get home from work on Wednesday morning. I'll be watching the South American games, see what happens there.
Yeah, what channel is that on?
That's on BN Sports.
Okay.
Yeah. And talking of TV, if you can't get out to one of the NPL matches, you can catch up with them live streams on NPL.tv, which I noticed Queensland's not part of.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I tried to play a couple of games last week and there was nothing.
Yeah, you can see just about every other state.
Mm.
No Queensland.
Yeah, you've got Victoria, South Australia, Tassie, New South Wales.
Yeah, Northern
but,
New South Wales.
No Queensland, very disappointing.
Northern New South Wales is even in there.
Yeah. For all you Queensland fans, get out to the games.
Yep.
The only way you'll see them.
Yep. Looking at the A-League for this week, Perth Glory play Newcastle Jets. That's on Wednesday night at 9:40. That's in Sydney, New South Wales time, of course. You'd think, I think Newcastle might win that one away.
I think they will, actually. Good run of form.
Hmm. Sydney FC, they're playing MacArthur Bulls. I have to think about it. That's on Wednesday night at 7:05. I'll probably get out to that one. After watching,
I think you'll take that one.
Well, I don't know. They haven't been playing that good. But I certainly hope so. Brisbane Roar, they're at home on Wednesday night also against Wellington Phoenix.
I think Brisbane will take that.
You would imagine so. Although it's up and down a little bit, but Brisbane need the points.
I do.
Wellington Phoenix are in action again on Saturday at 5:05 against Melbourne City, and they will be playing at home at Leichhardt Oval. Western United versus Central Coast on Saturday at 2:05. I think that'll be a good game.
That'd be great.
Yeah, be a close one there. Western Central Coast are starting to put a little bit of a run together. They've had a couple of draws and a win. Adelaide United, they're at home on Saturday at 7:45, New South Wales time against Melbourne Victory. That'd be a good game.
Yeah, Adelaide boy, one.
Yeah, and then there's the Sydney Derby on Saturday at 7:45 at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium, I think the game's at. Yep. getting to the end of the home games at Netstrata with the new stadium opening very shortly.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so they'll be back to Moore Park. And then on Sunday, MacArthur play Perth Glory at 6:20. MacArthur will win that one, I think.
I think so.
And finally, on the weekend, Brisbane Roar, they're at home to Newcastle Jets at Arthur Daly Stadium. And that kicks off at 4:05 New South Wales time. It should be 3 o'clock up there.
Born between two lovers.
Yeah, so who are you going to go for there?
I'll go for the Jets.
Going for the Jets. Yeah, I think they can win that. Yeah, I think they might. Especially if they have actually Goodwin in their side.
Yeah, but Mel's playing really well. He's starting to score. Penner's playing really well.
Yeah, they've got some good players.
Got some great players, you know. They're just starting to gel.
Yeah. So, get out to one of those games. If you can't get out there, you can watch them on telly, on Paramount Plus. And some of the, I think Saturday night, they have a game on Channel 10. So, no excuse not to watch a match, whether live or on TV.
Very true.
Very true.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it, Mike. You got anything else to say?
Only the one feel good story that I read the other day.
Yep.
Young Christian Eriksen. He rejoined the international side and scored.
Weird. That was fantastic news.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. It was one of those stories that you just love to read, regardless of who you support.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did notice that.
So good to see.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done, Christian.
Yeah, great player too.
Yeah, he certainly is. All righty. I think we'll call it quits. We've been going for just over an hour, hour and 2 minutes just about. We're both getting old and need our beauty sleep.
I'll be asleep forever.
Anyway, we'll catch up again next week. Yep. And we'll go over the... over the matches from the next 7 days and come up with our thoughts.
Definitely.
People out there enjoy listening to our thoughts. If you want to get in contact with us, you can follow us on Twitter at View From The Stand, or send us an email, viewfromthestand21@gmail.com. I'm trying to get a Facebook page going, but the media department here is very slack.
Are they?
Yeah. They keep promising me they're going to get me a Facebook page up and running, but never seems to appear.
Oh, I'll come down and chat with them.
All righty. Well, thanks for that, Mike.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.
Enjoy your football.
Yes, and all your listeners out there, have a safe week.
Yes, enjoy all your football out there, and we'll be back again next week for some more football talk.
For sure. Take care.
Enjoy your football. Bye-bye.
Bye.